nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. As we broadcast live here from the Texas Hill Country, it is Monday morning, January 20th, 2020. 1 year ago tomorrow, Andrew Gost left his body. That rascal. He had a lot of nerve doing that. But, so I think we're going to do a replay of Andrew's last show with One Radio Network tomorrow in honor of his transformation, his translation. Andrew and I are continuing to work on a screenplay. Yeah, he helps me all the time. I just close my eyes and say, Andrew, what's in here? Okay. And so we're working on the screenplay. And so we're taking Tuesdays and Thursdays, kind of sort of taking them off and doing some really cool archive shows. And then, so I can get more writing done. And then we're stacking up more shows on Monday and Wednesday and then doing open phone Friday. So that's the plan. So it's kind of working pretty cool. We're working on doing more people in 1 day. I can remember the days in radio that we used to do 4 and 5 hours. And once you get on here, it's just so much fun that before you know it, 3 or 4 or 5 hours are gone. So who cares if you do more? So that's my story. What's your story? You got up this morning to hear and watch Dr. Richard Massey, who's a good friend of mine. He's in Austin, Texas. And in about an hour and a half, you'll hear from Dr. Ray Pete, who has been on the show quite a few times, and he's cool. So you have a great opportunity to ask questions about your little body, your little body and your little booty. Dr. Richard Massey is, as I said, in Austin. He was an MD for quite a long time, and at some point along the way, he got a little bit too natural for people, and he wanted to protect his patient's privacy. Ah, and he got into trouble for that. Doc, I don't know how you got in trouble for that. You think you'd want to protect people's... I mean... Good morning there, kid. You look good. Look at you.
Thank you very much. Yes, here we are on the first 20 of 2020.
I like it. It's 2020.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Boy, look
and,
at that.
I got on my t-shirt here from Montgomery. I sent you some pictures there. This one's actually from Memphis.
Oh, I like it.
It's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, is it Martin Luther King Day?
Yes, it is. So...
Oh.
In 2018, went to the Lorraine Hotel and went through their civil rights museum there.
Did you?
So I like to put the shirt on the Martin Luther King Day.
I'm celebrating Martin Luther King Day by having a CIA wiretap on my phone. So
try to keep
in tune, yeah. You know, with Martin. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Have you heard some of the stories about J. Edgar Hoover and wiretaps and
I have heard
with stuff with Martin Luther? Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I'm enjoying a couple of Netflix series. One that I'm watching them together, which is kind of interesting. There's a 10-episode series called Messiah.
Oh, I've seen it advertised, but is that good?
I liked it, and I'm watching Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States,
where
you can hear some of what you just talked about.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have that on hard DVD and watch that whole thing. There's another one, Doc, Oliver Stone has out now called, the name is Ukraine, but it's Realizing, I'll get the first name. Realizing or something Ukraine.
Okay.
It's really good. It's brand new. And, you know, Oliver's kind of he's a real lefty, you know. I mean, it's no secret. He's pretty far left. But, boy, I tell you what, this Ukraine, revealing Ukraine is very, very well done because he's not pro-Trump, anti-Trump or anything with this one. Boy, he's digging in there trying to figure out what's going on in Ukraine and interviewing Medvedev, however you say his name, and Putin, And he did a great job with, you know, seeing where all the bodies are buried. And he didn't, there was no holds barred whether it would be, you know, Biden or Trump or, you know, or the United States. He was right in there and really good. Called, yeah, Revealing Ukraine. I think it's on Netflix or Amazon, one of those.
Yeah, I'll check that one out.
Because we like Oliver. He's the real deal, right?
I really enjoyed the series, The Untold History of the United States. It's stuff about when my parents were growing up. And, of course, you know, that's kind of what I'm up to, is helping people get in touch with what it was like when their grandparents and grandparents came along. That's how life got passed to us, is through all of that. So there's part of our American psyche that resonates with that, whether we ever knew it consciously or not.
So that's really part of your work. It's the recall healing, right?
Yes. Yes. So I ask people to find out what year their parents and grandparents were born and where they were born. And we look up the news headlines that were going on the year they were born and where they were born. And it's surprising what people can discover. What kind of unrest was happening when they were in the womb. And of course, that stuff gets transferred right into their nervous system because they're the little one who carries it. And then it expresses itself later in life without any context. But when you go back and look, it's like, oh, look, here's the context. Here's what helps make sense of that.
Right. So let's take... I was 46, so let's just use my, so 44, 45, I guess my dad was still in the service and angst about that and all that. So that, and it makes sense if mom is carrying Patrick and Gloria and John and they're out there and she's worried about dad getting killed or whatever, that it would make sense that just what we know about the soul, mind, body connection, it would have to, some of that would have to kind of be in there, right into my nervous system.
Yes. Yeah. The little one there who's nursing, you know, up to about a year old, and the one in the womb is going to carry the suffering for mom, whatever part of that is her suffering. And, you know, I always like looking at it. This is just my story, you know, my way of looking at, like your thing that you say in the beginning, there's nothing more expensive than bad information?
Right.
There's a cost. I watched some of those newsreels the other day, and if that's what your mom was watching when she was nursing you and carrying you, well, that's just terrifying. you know, and, you know, the little person in there would just take all that suffering on and then do what you're doing today, which is getting news out from a different perspective, something that's soothing for the soul and challenging at the same time, but it's more real. So I think she'd be happy watching you.
Well, thanks. Yeah. She's happy. She's a happy girl. So these experiences that we all have in the womb, that mom has in the womb, so is your experience then they just kind of are subconscious in there, and how do we clear those? Do we have to become aware of those to clear them out?
You know, not always. In family constellations, just the energy moves. Don't have to know any details of any stories, and it's a nice heart-opening reunion kind of thing with one's ancestors. And I've seen that make incurable diseases just disappear over the years, and that's why I stay in it. But then other times when people become aware of something, I just became aware the other day, January 16th was the anniversary of my illegitimate great-grandfather's death. I carry his first name, Charles, and there were disputes between the biologic family and the adoptive family. And so my uncle, who was nursing at this time, became a lawyer who settles family disputes. So he took his mother's suffering in and turned it into something good and expressed that throughout his life. And that's one way that the program works. Illness is when it's not working exactly smoothly, and we want to adjust something.
So in general, do you think that, like in my case, getting information out in a nice way, or you being a doc, or our listeners doing something that they like to do, it's trying to balance this out a bit?
Yes.
Or it does balance it out.
Balance is a good word. Yeah. So when something's out of balance, we'll come along and try to balance it. Mine was kind of a no-brainer. The big, that's a funny choice of words too.
well, it's very appropriate between you and I, no-brainer. So, you know, it's
the biggest suffering between conception and 1 year of age determines a lot in a person. If they know what their mother and father's greatest suffering was from conception to 1 year of age.
Whoa, really?
That's a huge formative influence on their life. And for my parents, it was when I died at birth and had to be resuscitated. And that was the most shocking moment for them. And I became an anesthesiologist. I repeated the birth video or trauma, whatever you want to call it. I repeated my birth stuff unconsciously. I would go in and knock people out with the same medicine that got to me that my mother took, and sit there and watch them not breathe for a minute and then get them breathing and wake them back up. So I was trying to tell my mom, it's okay, Mom, you know, you can take those medicines. It's okay when people don't breathe because you can breathe for them and it's all going to work out fine. And I never liked that job though, Patrick. I don't know how you are with yours. You seem to like yours, but I was scared every time I went in and did it and didn't know why.
Oh, you were scared.
Until I met the recall healing guy, Dr. Renault, and he told me about that. And it was like, oh, that totally made sense. I was, you know, facing my own resuscitation, you know?
Yeah.
And the no-brainer part was apparently they were telling my mother, you know, do you want us to keep resuscitating him because he may have brain damage from being without oxygen, you know? So,
and obviously the doctor was right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. So everybody out there, if you're listening, think about that. See if you can discover what your parents' greatest suffering was between conception and 1 year of age.
Yeah. Richard Massey is with us, and we have a lot of time here this morning. He'll be here till about 10:30 Central Time, Texas Time, and Dr. Ray Pete then will join us. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. What's that?
I was just thinking, Patrick, one of these days, if you want to do a little adventure, we could do one of those ultraviolet IVs on me or somebody else right here on the video.
Yeah.
Let everybody see what that looks like if they haven't.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that next month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Gonna hire some cute nurses, you know, we'll do the whole thing. I'll never forget, boy, my Uncle Tony was in the hospital and the bill was like $5,000, and $4,000 of it was for torn nurses' uniforms. You know,
Uncle Tony.
But I tell you gotta watch that, you know, that kind of stuff. Insurance didn't even cover it either. We just had to scrape up the money. Good. If you'd like to be on the show, just join us here, Patrick and Richard Massey. Well, so I guess then all the little things that we go through with mom and dad and everything, it makes sense then that when people have traumatic experiences, you know, in their childhood, that, and they don't want to remember them, that just kind of gets stuck in there too, right?
Yes, and what happens there from conception to 1 year of age is going to repeat itself and get reinforced over and over, typically, until we learn the pattern. So now what we have people do, and I may have told this one on the show before, about the woman who brought in the really a real tiny son. He was much smaller than all the kids in his class. And so she didn't want to do the growth hormone. He had been worked up and said, oh, it's low growth hormone. But when we worked with it, there were just generations of violent men in her family. Mm. And at one point, her husband actually pinned her against the wall, grabbed her by the throat, pinned her against the wall while she was pregnant, and threatened to do violence to her. And then that they worked that out and went on like nothing had happened. But when there's a shocking event like that, it goes right into the one in the womb. Mammals, all mammals are like that. The most dangerous time in a mammal's life is when they're pregnant or nursing. They can't run as fast and they need more food. So nature has it set up so that all the stress goes into the one in the womb or the nursing one so that the adults can function. But we ended up working with her, and the point is before a child reaches puberty, you can stand over their bed while they're asleep and tell them whatever they inherited, they were never meant to inherit. And they have your blessing to do the opposite, to live happily. And so her sentence to him that worked, that made him grow right away, was, you have my permission to grow into a big, powerful male, just like your father. And as soon as he had permission to do that, he just started growing. Until then, the way he took that in was, I'm going to always be small so I can never hurt my mother.
Oh.
I know, it's always a love story. You know, we call it an illness, and that's one perspective. But when we miss the love story, it deprives us of something vital.
Yeah. Well, that's really... really cool. Really interesting. Stay right there, Doc. We're going to do a little thing here, and this is what we're going to do. Dr. Richard Ulrey, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals, how it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the Living Streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you're getting the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. And we got a little sale coming up on them, and we'll tell you about those beginning, I think, on Wednesday. So stay tuned if you want to get some the Living Streams. We've talked about this Pearlseum Pearl Powder. Learning more and more about it, Dr. Rulin Shu keeps me kind of up to date on some new things, new research. It is recorded history that the Egyptian Queen Cleopatra, remember her? Yeah. She was in that movie, Elizabeth, just kidding. Pearl powder, she took it internally for beauty. An archaeologist discovered that human teeth that were more than 1,000 years old, which had pearl fillings in the cavities. The pearl fillings had grown and fused together with the teeth to form a seamless, cavity-free tooth structure. 1990, a group of French scientists, Physiological Research Lab in Paris, decided to investigate pearl fillings as compared with empty cavities, with the cavities patched with the normal acrylic polymer thing used by dentists. They found that the pearl tooth filling introduced the formation of new layers of bone and made existing teeth stronger. There is no new bone formation in the empty cavities or those filled with the polymer stuff. That's the white material that the dentist uses, the natural dentist. This pearl actually will fuse with your tooth in a way, and if you have some spaces that they call receding gums, it's really a whole bone issue. And I found in a spot on my back right that it just filled that spot up. It's amazing. No, I didn't pack it in there, have to do anything special. I just use this Pearl Sim as my tooth powder, and which is what I do a couple times a day. You just have a little spoon and you put on your toothbrush and you can make that noise too, that when you do it. And it's really pretty interesting. And I think you're going to find it real fun to use. It gets your teeth nice and clean and pearl looking, and will also fill up little ridges and stuff. And the research is there to back it up too. Pearlseum, you can see it on our website. Here, you just look for the ad, click on it. I would get two to start in a powder, and I think you'll have a good time with it.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Dr. Richard Massey is here with us. Dr. Massey's in Austin. So what were you doing this weekend? I was kind of communicating with you about the show, but you were out doing some kind of a... What were you doing?
Yeah, we had a lot going on. I sent you a picture there on the internet of... Meridian and I went to see Tuck and Patty perform last night.
And who pray tell is Tuck and Patty?
Tuck and Patty, man. They're and it turns out Patty is an October 49 birthday like me. He's a jazz guitarist and she's a jazz singer. They've been around a long time, had several albums back in the day.
Oh, I see them there. Cool.
Yeah, huh? Got our picture there with Tuck and Patty. This guy sounded like three guitarists at the same time. Just an amazing virtuoso guitarist. And so it was a lot of fun. We went to the One World Theater to see it. That was my first time there. Have you been to the One World Theater in Austin?
Years ago, yeah. It's quite a place, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a place. And I gave a talk at a health gathering yesterday that a friend of mine does in San Antonio. So
what'd you talk about?
I talked about recall healing, family constellations, and we did some demos where people stood up and we did some short constellations, and it was very satisfying. And
You also sent me a picture of the sun that I think we're gonna put this on the show page and show people this. Now, this is what the sun actually looked like. What you've sent me is not reflections off the camera or the iPhone screen or anything, is it? I mean, this is what it really looked like in the sky?
I mean, I pulled the car over. This is somebody else took this photo. I was driving back later when the sun was halfway down and the big orange bow was over the top. And I'd never seen that in any of my 70 years. I was glad I was sober. Otherwise, I would have thought it was the apocalypse or something. But I pulled the car over and tried to take it with my cell phone, and it didn't do it justice. And I thought, nobody's going to believe what I just saw. And then a friend took that photo right before sunset. And those are actually coronas around the sun that you usually only see during an eclipse.
And when was this?
For some reason, they showed up. People say it's because of high cirrus clouds in the area with the little ice crystals, and it gives that reflection there. But isn't that incredible looking?
Yeah, I'll send this to Sharon, and we'll put this on the show. Someday I'll be clever enough to actually put this picture like right on the video. I'm sure we can do it, but you know, good luck with that for me, knowing how to do it. But isn't that great? Beautiful. When was this?
Yeah. This is January 4th. It was a Saturday afternoon. We had gone to Lockhart, Texas to go take a nature walk with someone who was showing the medicinal plants in the park there at Lockhart State Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some interesting pictures there. We went to the Lockhart Courthouse, for instance, and there is still a Confederate monument there on the Lockhart Courthouse Square. I took my picture with that. And a bunch of Austin people are moving there and setting up shops. So you just walk a couple of blocks and you've got a crystal shop from the Confederate monument. It's an interesting
That's great.
Dichotomy there.
Yeah. Here's an email for Dr. Richard Massey. It is January 20th, 2020. I believe we're going to have the last show that we did with Andrew Goss. Turns out he translated on the 21st of January a year ago. So we're going to play that tomorrow for you. Then we have a really interesting fellow in the world of money coming on Wednesday who has some curious things to say about pension funds and some of the other really wonky things. And also a lady that's very into hydration, and she's really cool. Her name is Gina Bria. Gina Bria. She'll be here on Wednesday. Here's an email for you, Dr. Richard Massey. Can Dr. Massey, or what can he say about alcoholism and anger? I'm not sure, but I believe that was my parents' issue, and my mother moved out with me before I was 1 year. My mother moved out with me. They say that alcoholism is genetically passed down, but I believe it has a big correlation with the whole recall healing thing, and love for you to talk about it a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly does. And alcoholism is something that I'm familiar with. I'm in a 12-step program. The practical piece I would say about it is go to ACOA meeting, see if you like it. That's the adult child of alcoholics. There are actually three forms of alcoholism. There's the form that's the drinker. There's the form that's the non-drinker, who's called the Al-Anon. And there's the form of the child, who was the child of those two. And they each have different ways of getting their personalities untangled from all that. So for practical purposes, I would look at that. There are several conflicts with alcoholism. So I brought my little M-Wave to show y'all.
Oh, cool. You know? Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the little M-Wave from HeartMath. It clips on your earlobe and you turn it on, and you get somebody like me to either send you a book or send you a photo of the page on alcoholism in the Recall Healing book, or in Jacques Martel's book, which you've probably seen both of those. But this would be the Recall Healing book from Joubert Renault. And when somebody has on their M-Wave and reads the conflicts for alcoholism, the one that applies to them will create a change on the M-Wave. And then they'll know that's the conflict to work with, to clear. In general, alcoholism, since alcohol is called fire water, that's what the Native Americans called it, has elements of fire, masculine, and water, feminine. There's almost always a traumatic split in the family tree between a man and a woman that never got reconciled. And the person whose subconscious carries that, when they take a drink of alcohol, their subconscious tells them that they have actually reunited those two people. And it gives them this great feeling that other people just don't get. I mean, you take a drink and it's like, okay, the world is back in order. My great grandparents have reconciled. Everybody's happy. The family tree can sing now, you know. And but then when it starts wearing off, it's like they're divorcing again. Yeah, I got to have another drink.
Huh.
People who have that in their subconscious, they don't get that. And day-to-day living, alcoholism manifests as a fear of loving and a fear of being loved. So I would look at that.
A fear of loving and a fear of being loved. Curious.
Yeah, because they're the ones who carry the split. So if my subconscious carries this memory of this traumatic divorce, why would I want to go all in a relationship?
And in general, when we are then conscious of something that's been kind of driving us for a while, then it's game over for it, right? If we choose to not accept that into our reality anymore.
Yes. Sometimes just becoming conscious at that very moment, it changes.
It changes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, you catch the guy putting in the wiretap and it's like game over.
Yeah, so what do you do? What do you do? Adam Bergstrom seems to believe that when we really relax and stretch and let go of these, you know, these small little traumas that may be stuck in our leg or, you know, whatever. And when we yawn and we stretch, like cats do, called pandiculation, that it's a very nice way to, and then when we really yawn and really stretch, that we can release a lot of these things, even though we are not aware of what they are. And you know, that feels right, doesn't it? It feels like that's true.
Yes.
So we should all just get on the couch and pandiculate. Sounded pretty good, actually. Okay. Here's one for you. Dr. Massey, what is the recall healing view of how do you say that? Tinnitus?
Oh, yeah. Ringing in the ears.
Ringing in the ear. I never actually understood the correct pronunciation. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, some people say tinnitus. Some people say tinnitus. Some people say potato.
Some people say potato. And, you know, let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the ones that I don't actually look up very often. So let me just see.
You can look.
See if it's something quick.
Yeah. When you look it up, I'll tell people about you. Dr. Richard Massey is an MD. He's out of Austin, Texas now. He doesn't do the MD thing any longer, and he's into all kinds of really cool stuff. And he does consultations with people around the world as well. And we always put all of his information on our show page. And he's going to be here on the third Monday at 9 o'clock, preceding Dr. Ray Pete. Dr. Ray Pete will be here at 10:30 this morning. So we have a lot of time with Dr. Massey, an hour and a half with Dr. Ray Pete. If you'd like to be on the show, you can call 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Did you find it there?
Yeah, I did. And it's basically what Joubert would say we do with everything. What sort of noise is it? You identify it, where it comes from, when did it start? Is it heard all the time or just from time to time? But basically the idea is there some sort of separation from words that I want to hear, or I'm hearing words that I don't want to hear? And the tinnitus can be the brain's solution for crowding that out.
I see. So it's the idea that somebody's saying something ongoing that we don't want to hear, or we're not ready to hear, then the brain will do, or the mind-brain thing will do some kind of a thing so you don't hear it.
So one of the examples is, she phoned me to break up. I hear the phone ringing ever since that moment.
And I ain't answering, dude.
Yeah. Another one is, I'm reading my lover's letter asking me to divorce. My brain sends a sound in order to make the shock less. I went to visit my mother in the hospital. The nurse came and said to me, your mother just died. At that very moment, I start to hear the metallic sound of the wheel of the hospital bed. I would like to hear something above the sounds or above the words that I don't want to hear. So that's kind of, it's a brain creation to make the shock of hearing something or not hearing something less.
not hearing something or hearing something less. That makes sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Hi, Patrick and Dr. Massey. This is from Carol on this 20 January morning, 1-20-20. It's 1-20-20, right? 1-20-20. Yeah, that's what it is. I like it. Would Dr. Massey know why a 78-year-old woman would break out in a rash on her face and shoulders overnight? No change to anything like food or detergents or skincare, anything. What could her body be telling her? From Carol. Overnight, poof.
My goodness.
Carol, why don't you tell us what side of the body it's on and where it is? That might help. I wonder, that could be almost anything, couldn't it, Doc?
You know, so I always like to start with the diagnosis, but if you just have rash, what comes to me is, like, if it's not hives, I would assume they would say hives if it was hives. I would assume it's telling a story about a separation. That's the most common story that the skin tells, is the story of separation. Do you know the cells on the surface of the skin and on the inside of our nose and all that kind of stuff? That's called epithelial tissue, epithelial
right.
cells.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is my encouragement once again for everybody to get on the online etymology dictionary and look up the original meanings of words, what people meant to convey when they created this word. Do you know what the word epithelial was intended to convey?
Epithelial.
Nipple.
Nipple.
It means to suckle, like on a nipple. The body is covered with billions of microscopic nipples looking to connect with mother or some other nurturing thing.
And
whenever I'm on the anniversary of a separation, my brain can eat away the outer hard covering of the skin so that those nipples can reach out and try to connect with mom or whoever I loved or was getting nurturing from, even a pet that died. Like if there's a pet that used to wrap around her head and on her shoulders. Right. If this is the anniversary of that pet's death.
That's fascinating. Wow.
Yeah. It's a separation story. And the rash is usually the healing part of it, because the eating away of the outer layer of skin, you can't even tell it's going on. The rash happens when you get reunited in some way. You either come to peace inside of yourself, get a new pet, you know, your husband comes back home. It's on the reunion that the rash actually happens, and that's what's typical for eczema.
Hmm. So all of our little cells in our body is kind of looking for love. They are.
Even inside the heart arteries, it's called endothelium there, but it's still an epithelial tissue. Hmm. It's just billions of nipples. There's even an anthropologist who said that, look, we're just a big bunch of nipples going around trying to find other people's nipples, you know. That's
trying to connect.
What interaction is about, you know.
Well, yeah. it makes so much sense of the nurturing quality of just hugging and holding hands and cuddling, and then you watch pets and, you know, and how they, you know.
Yeah. I mean, who used to touch my face and shoulders? You know, have her think about all the people or pets that ever touched her face and shoulders and she got separated from and reunited with.
Hmm. She says there are both sides of the face and neck and shoulders. So yeah, that'd be a nice little thing, Carol, to look at. So you're saying, see if you can connect up with an anniversary.
Yes. So always check and see what happened at half the age when that occurred, and if you can't come up with anything, half of that age, and see if there's a conflict of separation and reunion that happened then that's just repeating because it wants to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
it wants us to write that love letter that finally, you know, settles everything in our heart. So if I'm twice the age is when I broke up with somebody, or they broke up with me, on the doubling of that age, my brain is going to replay that unless I'm really at peace with it. And my body will tell the story of the separation and reunion.
That brain is just such a feisty little thing, and these little mind brain things.
I wonder. It is. It's a little family Bible.
Do you know what I really like? Because, you know, I'm so interested in understanding, Doc, about how karma and everything works. For me, it fits so well with karma and why we would incarnate with a particular man and woman. It just makes so much sense, right? So we... Yeah. If we need to learn a certain lesson or we need to have an experience, then we'll incarnate with that, you know, with that person again. I knew one young girl that actually told me exactly how she picked out her mom and dad. I've mentioned before, she remembered it and she picked it out when she was in the other realities, and she had a choice. I think she had a choice of three different couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess soul will just know which one to choose, you know, to get the experience maybe that they need.
Yes.
And maybe, I don't know if it's that way for everybody, but that was her experience, you know. I'm sure it's different for everybody, you know. I think I remember with me, they threw me in the back of the car and says, here's your mom and dad. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. That didn't happen like that. Dr. Richard Messi is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Loving the live feed, says Joy. I'm sorry?
If you're an October baby, like me and Patty, I have an October birthday. That means that, and you were a term baby, that means that January is the month of your conception. So don't be surprised if certain feelings overtake you this month. Your brain will be replaying your conception.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, according to one of my things that I look at is the Akvija, that the time you and I were born is the time of wealth. Did you know that?
I did not.
Wealth. And also our one of our good stones to have around or is pearl. You ever like, do you like pearls?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pearl.
Okay.
And a lot of other kind of cool stuff around that time of the year. So mm-hmm. You're feeling wealthy, get some pearls.
Okay.
He says okay to anything. Okay. Good to see both of you this morning. Love the live feed. About 30 years ago, I injured my right joint. It's hard to see what that is with the light. CMC? Joint. By lifting a heavy object, the injury to the joint and tendon has been on and off problem for over many years. However, immobilizing the wrist in a brace was the remedy that worked nicely. Fast forward to now, age 63, and the pain has become chronic. Recent x-ray revealed bone on bone. I'm due for a cortisone shot this week for some relief, and I'm not sure if there's any other options in my area, such as PRP, stem cells, ozone. Any thoughts? I'm at the end of my rope here. So, I wish I could. It looks like it's CMC. Does that sound right, joint?
Okay, but it's something around her wrist.
That's correct.
Like.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. CMC. So, first talk about cortisone. Is this a good idea? It's okay. A yes, no, maybe. What do you think about cortisone?
So, cortisone shots often give relief. They make inflammation go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you learn something. If cortisone is helpful, is that there was an inflammatory component in the joint, and then you can decide something else to do about it, because typically, my impression is they don't keep working. You get relief the first couple of times, but after that, not so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Joints are about my sense of value and power in the world. Tendons are as well.
Hmm.
And so what we would talk about is what was going on in her feelings when she was lifting this heavy object. So I'll just make up one. If I'm lifting a heavy object and inside of myself, I'm thinking, the reason I'm having to lift this is because my husband doesn't think I'm worthy enough to do this for me.
Mm.
He should be in here lifting this and I'm having to lift this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that and that sense of low value goes to that joint, the low value is what eats away the cartilage.
The low value that she's having for herself.
Yes, it's not the movement. It's not the original injury. It's the fact that I felt of low value when I was having to do it. Like if nobody's helping me move, my friends don't show up to help me move, and I'm having to lift this. What am I, huh? Chopped liver?
Am I chopped liver?
Somebody's supposed to be here helping me move, and they're not. And so that joint is telling the story of when I felt of low value.
Hmm.
And so we would simply want to rewrite that. And only when the joint hurts, there's two things pain is asking for. It's asking us to make the joint be still for a while. But pain is when the joint is healing. So every time it hurts, that's the joint rebuilding the cartilage. It's exactly backwards of what you think. So celebrate when it hurts. And that doesn't mean don't treat it. I would immobilize it. I would take whatever I needed because I'm not very tough, so that I didn't have pain. But know that the pain, that's the rebuilding of the tendon. That's the rebuilding of the
pain
cartilage.
The pain is.
Yeah. So congratulate yourself that you solved something. If it's hurting, that means there's a part of you going, hey, you do have value. You do have value. Forget what you thought in the past.
But Dr. Massey has said this often with this work, that in general, see if I have this right, when the pain or what they call disease and all this stuff is, it's happening when we're healing, not when it's getting worse. Just the opposite of what we're told, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. People come to me because they're healing too fast to be comfortable. Or they've been stuck in a healing loop for a long time and they're running out of resources. I don't see any people with a disease, really. I mean, they have a diagnosis, but their bodies aren't falling apart. They're healing. That's why they're coming.
Isn't that? And it's so, folks, if you can really understand what the doc's saying here and get this and write it down and think about it, every time a pain or something is going on, we can have a whole other view upon it, right, Doc, and look upon it as my body is healing. This is great. You know, I'm doing fine. I hurt right now, but it's, you know, I'm working this out, and have that kind of conversation rather than, oh my God, my knee's hurting. I got to do something. You know, I got to do this and I got to do that. And what am I going to do?
Yes. So I told you about the woman who came with knee pain and they told her bone on bone that you need a knee replacement. And so I asked her, I said, well, when did this pain start? Well, I was in the hospital doing Reiki on a friend who was dying. And my friend died. And after my friend died, I got this pain in my knee. Well, I asked, what's your religion? And she said, Catholic. I said, is it legal or okay or kosher or whatever as a Catholic to have your hands on or near a person at the time of death, or is that just for the priest? Oh my God. She said, oh no, that's just for the priest.
Really?
No, you're not supposed to. Oh yeah. At the time of death, only the priest is supposed to come in and do something. And there she was with her hands on her friend.
Hmm.
And she realized, and the knee is about kneeling to something that I don't want to kneel to. And what had happened was she loved her friend more than she knelt to the Catholic Church and religion dogma in that moment. And when she became conscious of that, the knee pain disappeared.
Wow. It's so cool, isn't it? Dr. Richard Massey is here, January 20th. This is from a UBTube comment from Crystal. I truly love your interviews with Dr. Massey. I always feel so much lighter and more hopeful while listening. Dr. Massey, you're a genuine soul, and I can't thank you enough.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh. I appreciate that a lot.
Oh. We're going to start crying here. Don't do that kind of stuff.
I know. I can feel that. I started crying at the concert last night when they did Little Wing, that song that Jimi Hendrix wrote and Derek and the Dominoes did it. It's about having visions of this tender angel creature coming and sharing smiles and good wishes and goodwill. I don't even know all the lyrics, but it was so beautiful.
Hmm.
So thank you for that email. I appreciate that.
That's great. I get all misty when they pick up my garbage, you know. It's just... that means I paid my bill. It's great. You know? It's the little things in life, you know. We don't get a lot of visitors here in Dripping Springs, so you know we do. We take what we can get. You know, hey, there's the garbage man. You want to talk?
Yes.
Good morning, Patrick. Please ask Dr. Massey what he recommends besides changing diet for reversing diabetes.
For what?
Huh?
I didn't hear the last. I started laughing when the guy said, besides changing diet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Besides changing diet for reversing diabetes, supplements, herbs, detox, thanks. This is from Colette, who is in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, so it's for diabetes?
Or diabetes, right.
Okay, all right.
All right.
So one of the first things we want to see is what kind of diabetes. Patrick, there's at least three different kinds.
Three?
And there are different recommendations for each. So what we would want to know, and maybe she'll email us back, is when she checked the blood sugar, what was the insulin level at the same time? There are kinds of diabetes where a person makes too much insulin and their body doesn't respond to it. And the other kind of diabetes is I don't make enough insulin, and that's why my sugar's high. So we look at both of those at the same time to see which one it is.
How would you know? How would you test that?
You just draw blood, and it's just a regular blood test. People are starting to do it more now.
So you can do a blood test and do the blood sugar and also insulin levels and have them do both.
Yes, Jonathan Wright used to do them like at the beginning, and then you drink some sugar water, and then you check it every hour for 4 hours. He was very thorough,
uh-huh.
And he wanted to see if the insulin response by the pancreas matched the sugar level. And of course, it doesn't in diabetics. One kind of diabetic makes too much insulin. The other one doesn't make enough. And it's different supplements for each kind.
So at one time you're making too much insulin, and at one kind you're making not enough. Do they have different names for that, or is that just like a cool natural doctor
sure.
thing you guys know?
So in an adult, you would call it type 1.5 if a person wasn't making enough insulin. In a child, you call it type 1.
Hmm.
And type 2 is the typical for adults, which is where you make too much insulin, but the body doesn't respond to insulin anymore. It's like, I'm not listening to you. You know, you're not getting in this cell.
I ain't doing it.
You can make as much as you want, but you're not getting in, you know? And the other one, the pancreas just isn't making enough. And so there's all this sugar that cannot get escorted inside the cell because there's no insulin to do that.
That's called insulin resistance.
So that one would be a type 1 or a type 1.5. The insulin resistance is when there's a bouncer at the door and tells insulin you don't have the right permission.
Nah, you ain't getting in here.
And I see that sugar, on your arm there, you know, that sweet sugar on your arm, she ain't getting in either. Yeah. You know, y'all are left out in the alleyway here.
And the too much insulin circulating, we kind of believe the research literature shows that that's a problem because possible in scarring of the arteries and things like that all over around the body, right? And then the cholesterol can clog up trying to repair it, right?
Yeah, the type 2 is associated with that.
Mm-hmm. That's also called metabolic syndrome.
Uh-huh, metabolic syndrome. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Patrick, man, we're going to have to get you an honorary Baylor medical degree or something.
Is that right? Is that right? Well, I can do that. I like playing doctor. It's fun.
St. Patrick's of the Dripping Springs. We'll start your own medical school,
you know? That's right. Yeah. Jeez.
Just need some funding. I think that's all we're missing.
It's just funding. Yeah, it's just generally funding. It's always about funding. Dr. Richard Massey is here. It's January 20th, 2020. January 20th is some kind of auspicious day. Why does that stick out? What is that? I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Anything special about 20th? Anything special about 20th? I don't know.
I mean, for me, Martin Luther King Day, and then on a personal note, it's actually the day my divorce became final in 1993.
Really?
And so I recommend to folks out there who kind of want to do what I'm up to is put all those important dates on your calendar and celebrate them consciously. Otherwise, the body will do it by getting a cold or the flu or aches and pains, or the mood will sink, and all these kind of things happen because the body remembers everything like that.
So the body will oftentimes come up with little things we call the flu or whatever. Could be anything to help us remind us that we need to honor what happened or remember or work through more of, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Our lives are important, and we don't recognize that as much as our subconscious mind does and as much as our heart does.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to remember for us when we don't.
Yeah, as soul eternal beings as we are, and we know we are eternal, we're always kind of looking at figuring out, you know, why we're here and what's it all about and where we're going, and trying to get this information to, you know, Patrick and Richard, the outward whatever we think we are.
Yes, yes. I mean, we're valuable beyond what we can even speak in words.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you here. Stick around. We're going to do a little bit of a thing here, and then we'll be back with Dr. Richard Massey if you'd like to ask him a question. You can use the telephone, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Levy was recently on the show, and I'm actually working on an article we're going to publish on this whole oxidative stress, and oxidation, he claims, is the cause of disease, and no question about it with the whole thing. And this hydrogen gas that we're breathing, that we're fortunate enough to have this this machine called AquaCure, that's one of its main things is to lower inflammation, oxidative stress, lower it. Pretty cool. And you can breathe the gas and drink the water like I have here. And it's a great machine. George has been working on this for, about 30 years. I think this is AquaCure 5.0 or something over the years. He keeps improving it. It has a lifetime warranty. If you'd like to learn more about it, stay right there and listen. Did you know the AquaCure Brown's Gas Machine reduces oxidative stress?
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it. First of all, you're repairing oxidative damage, but you're also reducing or eliminating free radicals. Now, we're only the bad free radicals, which is another reason why hydrogen is good, because you actually have free radicals in your body that you want to keep. Example, nitrous oxide.
The oxidative stress, is that the main thing that damages the DNA and causes the regeneration to stop, you know, youthing or getting older, immune organs? Is that at the base, George Weissman, of most of the issues?
It's one of the
just
bases,
one of them.
But this comes back to that regeneration thing that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. The cells won't regenerate. You won't have stem cells and that sort of thing if you haven't got enough hydrogen.
And if our body is not generating enough hydrogen, we get dehydrated. Dehydrated. Lack of hydrogen. The AquaCure machine, 10% off, promo code ONERADIO. Use the promo code ONERADIO, 10% off in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. People are getting manic and taking all these stuff because they don't have sulfur in their brain or something?
That's correct. That's correct. And there's reasons for that. Kid out there in the street buying illegal drugs, all caused from that. Every bit of it. The manic depression, suicidal tendencies, all caused from a lack of sulfur to the brain.
Whoa.
Because the glyphosate stopped the uptake of sulfur from the body to the brain. There's a lymph system that runs from the digestive tract to the brain directly, and all they were finding is sulfur. It goes straight to the brain because we're a sulfur being. We have to have the sulfur to keep us sane. If you don't have sulfur going to your brain, you become manic. If you look at all the drugs that they give people, they put artificial sulfur in there. It's a molecule, artificial, to trick the brain to think that you've got sulfur in your bloodstream.
Well, we have a way to get sulfur into your bloodstream, and then you don't have to trick your brain. Just put it in there. With our pure organic sulfur, you can click an order right on our website. Three prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. It's the real deal. Makes little crystals in the glass. Living Sulfur on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
I just thought, about, Dr. Massey, wouldn't that be interesting if all the people doing the glyphos and the things like that, that they're consciously doing it just to make you all manic? So, those rascals, it's kind of fun, you know, with the glyphos and the sulfur and all that. I'm just being silly. Don't worry about that stuff, you know. You're fine. You know?
Sure. I know.
You know, it's like, you know, it's just great.
I was looking up the word celebrate in the etymological dictionary yesterday.
Celebrate, yeah.
That was the theme of my talk, is how we're all, our biology, everyone's biology is celebrating the origin story over and over in predictable cycles. So I looked up the word celebrate, and the word celebrate means originally to assemble, to honor. And that honoring can be in a joyful way or a sorrowful way. So the original meaning of celebration was to honor both, both aspects of being a human being, and gather together to do that. So we did that yesterday, and it was quite a day.
Really had a good time, huh?
Yes, there were some real breakthroughs for people who had been alienated from their parents. We did some little exercises, family constellation exercises, and it's quite beautiful when that happens.
It's great that you're able to do this kind of work. Isn't it cool? I mean, God bless those guys for giving you a hard time about being an MD. You never would have done all this stuff.
I know it. Everything feels like an accident, you know, how I ended up here. It just feels, I don't know, maybe everyone's life is like that. You know, it's like, oh, we gave his mom the wrong amount of medicine. Oh, look, he's blue. You know, I mean, it's just a weird start to, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we all have that Forrest Gump thing kind of going in one way or another.
I suspect we do, Dr. Massey. Dr. Richard Massey's with us, and you can join the show anytime. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com, 888-663-6386.
And so you're going to get some time to work on your stuff now.
That's the plan. Because I don't think you get more points for taking more years to finish your book or screenplay. But you might. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you getting a break. You're going to get what, Tuesday, Thursdays?
Well, Saturdays, yeah, we're working on Tuesdays and Thursdays off, and you know, just if I can stay away from the computer and the show stuff, so we can do, you know, more of the writing. So it's you know, yeah,
that's got to feel good.
It's fun. It really is fun. Even though sometimes it's really difficult. I don't know. Have you done much writing yourself?
Just journaling, mm-hmm. but not writing to publish anything.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun. I really enjoy it. You learn a lot about yourself, and so we'll see what we can come up with. Doc, what do you know about the kidneys?
Kidneys. Most people have two.
Good deal. I knew you knew something about them. Here is a question for you. I have a question about kidneys. We call healing, and is it worth buying a book to heal my kidneys from a 7-centimeter kidney cyst, or could it be something else? I didn't get a biopsy, as I think it's not necessary. I'm on keto diet, intermittent fasting. Not sure if I should have red meat at this point. I don't know if that could be dangerous, but it's my right kidney. Is that a male or female problem? My urine is very pale, almost clear. I'm not sure if it's not filtering or there is nothing to filter. Thank you guys for your time. You're wonderful people. God bless. Oh, from Haze. I think that's the name, Haze. So we got a little kidney there on the right side with a cyst on it.
Yes. I remember once, and the kidney is kind of a complicated one. There's different parts to the kidney, and each part is telling a different part of the origin story. So I don't know from which part the cyst is coming, but with the polycystic kidney disease, I remember that the cysts are actually the healing part. But I don't know about this person's cyst. And of course, regular medical tests will tell you if your kidneys are functioning. You can get a creatinine clearance done and see if that's staying good. If that's staying steady, then your kidney function is good. And it's worth investing in some dipsticks, I think. Some urine dipsticks. And just checking your urine once in a while for things like blood, specific gravity, protein. And they're inexpensive and doesn't require any really skill to do that. Just put the urine on the strip and read the color results.
And then what is that going to tell us then?
Yeah, so you would know if something big was changing. Like when somebody says their urine is really, really pale, that can just be because they don't drink a lot of fluid. But if you find out, or they drink too much fluid, but if you find out that the creatinine clearance is being affected, I would do something about that before something gets out of hand.
Creatinine clearance, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, well, we all get it measured when we go in for regular labs. We get some form of it done, and some are more accurate than others. But if it's staying good, if you have a good creatinine clearance and it's not going down, then whatever's going on with the cyst is not affecting function in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's good to know.
A lot of these things somehow just work themselves out, don't they?
Mm-hmm. A lot of things do. And if we don't get a diagnosis, I understand avoiding the diagnosis, avoiding biopsies and getting medical words, especially if you're born in a hospital. It can be scary because, you know, the doctor was there at the birth and everybody saw the doctor as powerful. And then this person tells you these words and they tell you what their medical school told them it means. And it's like it's the Oracle and, you know, the Matrix or something just spoke. And it's that kind of stuff that Dr. Hammer discovered has this effect on the brain, Patrick, that makes the original conflict not healable. if a person believes the doctor's prognosis.
So, this is the new German medicine fellow, and he says that the original. Say that again, please.
Yeah. So, if a person believes the doctor's prognosis, it's now the worst illness they have because it prevents the original one from healing.
You have cancer. You have stage four. You have whatever.
Yes. Yes. So if our subconscious attaches to that, we're pretty much done unless somebody breaks that spell.
Breaks the spell. I like it. It is a spell too, isn't it? It's almost like black magic.
Yes, it is. It's very much like black magic.
That old black magic. Yeah. Wow. So how do you break the black magic spell?
You know, Dr. Hammer had his techniques, and we learned some from Dr. Renault, but we just show so much information as we go through the person's timeline and their family tree that this is not an illness that they caught. This is their biology talking, you know, and look at the pattern. It's happening on this predictable cycle. You're the number three, and look at that. Grandpa was the number three, and he had the same thing. You know, tell me that's a coincidence here. And once the person begins to get suspicious, that breaks the spell.
No quinky-dink, right? No quinky-dink.
Right.
So here's one. This is kind of fun. I am perpetually constipated, writes Rick. I do all kinds of things, and it will clear up, then come back. I wonder what could be the root cause of this. It's been going on for about 10 years. Rick is in Omaha. That's constipated in Omaha. My goodness. That'll do it, being in Omaha, I think.
Yes, yes, yes. And so just the doctor part of me, you know, would talk to him if he were here and make sure that when he does poop, it's a nice size. I don't want to think that there's something obstructing his bowel, you know. So if there's something obstructing the bowel, you find out your poop gets smaller and smaller until it finally is like a pencil.
Ooh.
More than the size it used to be. And so you definitely don't want something getting all plugged up. But he didn't say anything about pain, so I'm going to just make the assumption that we're talking about constipation just because the nerves aren't telling the bowel to move. So we just start thinking, how would that be a solution for a person, you know, to hold on to poop like that? Why is it? How would the brain possibly see that as an answer to some conflict that a person in their family system is facing? Because that's how the brain sees it. This is the answer. You got your answer. You know, here we are. Colon that doesn't move, and your task, your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to discover why, what's going on there. So here's Joubert's first one. Where is my spot? You know, where is my place? Who am I here? Because, you know, mammals need permission to poop. Like if you're in a pack, you have a spot where you poop. You got to have your spot, and everybody's got to agree. This is Richard's spot. This is Patrick's spot. They're entitled to poop in this spot, you know. But if something's going on in life and I don't feel like I have a spot where everybody's agreed it's okay for me to poop, I have a place here, my brain may just go, hey, I can help you out. I can hold on to that for a week. You know, and I mean, it could be something silly and practical, like somebody was trapped in an elevator for 2 days and, you know,
sure,
people who held were more popular at the end of the 2 days than the people who didn't. Right. So we just think about those things okay. And the second one is I'm separated from somebody and I want to hold on to them. But since I can't hold on to them, I hold on to poop. I'm, you know, it's like a not wanting to feel a separation. And it can also be about wanting to hold on to something I don't want to forgive or let go of. Mm-hmm. If there's something happening, Joubert used to use the S word there in class. And, you know, if something bad happened to a person, but he would use the S word, so that you could get the connection between feces and emotional trauma.
Mm-hmm.
If something like that happened to me and I don't want to let that go. And you can listen to Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman sing Time to Say Goodbye.
I like that. That's right. That'll do it, boy.
Yeah. It's a great YouTube. And you can listen to it over and over. And he said a lot of people, it really helps them move their bowels.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Rick, because I want to get to a couple more before we go. Rick, there's there's something just on the pure physiological level. We're going to do a show, I think, next week on it, castor oil. And I just recently bought a book that was all about Edgar Cayce's work in castor oil. And boy, if I had that thing going on back with the, you know, with the ongoing, I would be doing these castor oil packs. And they're very, very powerful. Put them all over the abdomen. They're easy to do. And, I'm just reading this book over the weekend. And I guess the easiest way to get a little compendium of what Cayce's most advice was to do a castor oil pack every other day for 10 days for a total of 20 days. And after you do the castor oil pack, drink olive oil, strangely enough. And he said that would help to release a lot of the gravel and the stuff in the gallbladder. Interesting.
Yes. And of course, on a practical level, I recommend coffee enemas if you're not having bowel movements. And honestly, it's rare to find somebody who can't make their bowels move with enough vitamin C.
Or magnesium too, right? Or magnesium?
And magnesium. I've had people who had to take 50,000 of vitamin C before they pooped.
Whoa.
Which is quite a bit, you know, like 50 tablets. And they finally went and add in some magnesium with that. That's how people get ready for colonoscopy, right? They give you a big jug of magnesium.
Oh, do that. Yeah.
You can get some animated tale telling from people who've had to go through the drinking the Go Lightly, it's politely called.
Mm-hmm.
And drink this jug of Go Lightly and you go.
Wow. It's so fun to think about this, all this stuff. Is it why the fourth commandment says to honor thy father and thy mother? Maybe they knew something about recall healing.
Thanks for sending that one in. You know, that's the first command with a promise. And it doesn't say that if you don't do it, something bad will happen. That says the original, I happen to know the original because I worked with a rabbi. He said the original version of the fifth commandment says, honor everyone in the family who's older than I am, especially my father and mother, and the divine one will grant us wellness, long life, and land ownership, which is what's on your One Radio Network page. So we're right in tune here, Patrick.
Health, wealth, and well-being, right?
That's it. That's it. Shalom, you know.
Shalom.
You'll get shalom. Mm-hmm.
May the blessings be.
Yes.
Matt says, I want to be free of parasites. The emotional and all the things that are eating up my power and my energy of all kinds of systems. Most of them are embarrassing, but kind of like teeth grinding, poor sleep. I love sugar. Always have kind of a lot of sugar as a kid. I'm considering a full moon parasite cleanse, and I'm feeling that I have flukies, among others. Just an intuitive guess. Supposedly, all parasites are more active breeding and easier to knock out during the full moon. My questions are two. One, I believe Dr. Massey used to drink a lot and had sugar addiction. What are some things he would recommend to reduce cravings? I've done L-glutamine, which helps some, but if and when I get stressed at work or middle of the night, the little bugs take over my rational thinking and I go face down in anything sweet or anything white flour ridden face down. I love that visual. Thank you, man.
It really is.
Face down, that's boy.
Yes, yes, going for it.
So does that sound, yes. You know, the teeth grinding and, you know, in Ayurveda, they say that teeth grinding and also having the need to pick at your nose and two signs of possible parasites.
Yes. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know what they did with you, Patrick, but in our neighborhood, the parents all got together and gave us all a mebendazole pill one day in the summer on the same day. And then a couple of weeks later, we got another one to kill whatever had hatched.
And, did they know about mebendazole back then? Really?
It, one of those mebendazole or some other mm-hmm. related drug. And so we got dewormed once a year. Mm-hmm. That was a common practice. My friend Nick Weed makes a botanical that's good, you know, for helping parasites be escorted to another place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm betting on your show page, you have several products that are good for parasites.
Well, I would recommend that maybe he contacts Barbara Frank. She's got some really cool little herbs. You can look at her show page and see the information.
Okay.
For parasites, you can do, you know, the turpentine is a parasite thing, and a lot of ways to go after these little guys.
Mm-hmm. The zapper.
Yeah. Zapper.
A lot of people. Results with Hilda Clark Zapper.
And he's asking a lot of questions about the full moon and how long and all that. And from my experience, Matt, I would not worry too much about, I mean, the full moon is great. And I don't know about how long. Many people say, Doc, what is it? Like even 90 days. So you get the kids and the grandkids mm-hmm. and the great grandkids. You know, I don't know if there's any magical time limit to your how would you approach that so Matt doesn't get too tied up in, you know, dates and times and stuff?
Sure. And whatever is the unsweetest or bitterest, sourest part of your life, I would do something to not participate in that.
Oh.
So if you're watching the news and you feel bitter about that, I would take a break from watching the news and see if the sugar cravings go down. If there's some person you're around that you don't really like, if you have to be around them, limit the time. But if you don't have to be around them, take a break from that person and see if the sugar cravings go down. Because if I'm trying to put something sweet in, there's something sour or bitter going on in my life. And that's also the conflict for parasites. There's some interaction going on with me where I'm losing energy to a person, place, or thing. And the bugs come into the body to kind of actually repair that, strangely enough.
They're trying to repair it.
Yes, the brain actually calls parasites into the body and multiplies them on purpose, just like it does with organisms. And it'll use them to help repair tissues that are being damaged, carry heavy metals. Klinghart found that out, that worms were covered with heavy metals and they were protecting us in some way. So something toxic is going on in my relationships, and change that, you know, I mean, within the law, do something that's good, good for your heart.
be legal, you know, be legal.
yeah. Do something legal, you know, and see if that has a good effect for you on the food cravings and on the parasites as well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave when they're not needed.
Yeah. And really, Matt, listen to your body and you're going to kind of know when it's time to stop doing whatever you're doing. You just kind of know. You say, man, I'm just over this, and work with that. Well, Doc, what great fun we had here. Good job.
We did.
What are you going to do today?
I'm going to see a couple of people and go to Family Constellations tonight.
Oh, tonight.
How about you?
I have no idea. I just, I'm really thinking about going out in the sun after this, after we talk to Dr. Pete.
Bite, doesn't it? Yes.
It's cold, but boy, we have a lot of, we have a lot of sun. Dr. Richard Massey, we love you. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you next month, right? The third Monday at 9 o'clock. And we'll put all of your contact information on the show page in case folks would like to reach you.
All right. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thank you. See you soon. Dr. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. And we're just going to take a quick little break here. Don't go anywhere. Do a quick little break. And we're going to get all set up for Dr. Ray Pete. So the video will land, this one, on YouTube and Facebook. But we'll be right back and start up again. So don't go away. If you're listening on audio, not too much will happen, but we'll just start with Ray Pete in a few minutes. Just got to get him hooked up and get his slide up. Just a couple little geeky things. So we'll put this up here for you. Just going to take a quick little break. OneRadioNetwork.com. So thanks for Dr. Massey for being here. And Dr. Ray Pete is coming up. Stay right there.
Know the source. One Radio Network.